Hi, you're listening to the Prophetic Pulse Podcast, a ministry of the Life Church Network. This podcast is designed to keep you informed on current events, to help you understand the prophetic heartbeat of the Holy Spirit and how it relates to your life today. Here, you will receive fresh insight and biblical revelation to inspire and empower your walk with Christ. Now, here are your hosts, Pastors Randy Rice and Curtis Hill.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Monday evening.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us on the Prophetic Pulse Podcast. We got an interesting topic tonight, to say the least.
Yes, we do, Curtis. And we were just talking about the inequity of the Equality Act. And boy, do we have some information for you. Sad, but you have to arm yourself. You have to get ready for this type of attack on really the family of God, God's institutional family, husband and wife. And it's been going on for years. But Curtis, thank you for helping, man, with and just leading this charge on the Prophetic Pulse. We've been talking about some really good subjects, and tonight is no exception. On Thursday, the House of Representatives passed the Equality Act. Now, no Republicans voted for this. They were all Democrats. So that will tell you where both parties pretty much stand. So we're going to go through this tonight. And you have to stay with us, because at the end, you're going to have some people to call in your area, in your districts, in Warren County, Butler County, and you can look up, you know, your state legislators, because that's where you really need to go. But this is, Curtis, this is really insulting to the Christian community, insulting to our religious views, and it's an attack on our families and on the church.
Yes, you are correct. We have gotten to a point where, well, we've been past the point of logic, but now it is just flat out insanity, and it is demonic. The enemy, the devil, principalities, the number one thing that they want to attack, besides just, you know, the church and the body of Christ, is the family unit. Because that, I mean, you actually could argue that the family unit, you know, it was there right in the beginning of the word. I mean, that was what God, that was the most precious thing that God created, was a family.
Yes.
And then the church came. Like, you didn't need the church until there was sin. And you didn't have the church until there was Jesus, who dealt with the sin.
Mm-hmm.
But right there in the beginning of the word, it's family. And then you just see that play out over and over. God chose a family. God chose Abraham to bless. He chose a family to produce generational blessing.
Yes.
Generational blessing. And so the enemy, he is sinking his teeth into the family unit. And what you're about to read, you know, 99%, in my opinion, of the entire nation thinks that this is pure insanity.
Yeah.
You know, at least adults.
Right.
You know, adults who have lived normal lives, who, you know, maybe live outside of just completely Democrat-controlled cities, they look at this and they think that it's pure insanity. But out of that 99%, you know, will 98, will they say anything about it, or will they just let it continue?
Right.
Go that's, down this path?
And that is a big question that we have to answer. And by the way, if you know somebody that needs to hear this, a pastor, a just a Christian leader, a Christian friend. Maybe you don't even know about the Equality Act that was just passed by the House of Representatives. It's going to the Senate. They think that it's going to pass the Senate now. And this is a devastating blow to religious freedoms in our nation right off the bat with the Biden administration. So you have to share. And by the way, if you're watching, I want you to give us some thumbs up. I want you to share your thoughts, share some links that might help people. We want you to get involved. We need you to be interactive. And also, if you just want to share the links to some of our representatives in Warren County, Butler County, Hamilton County, Dearborn County, I don't know, wherever you're watching this, please do, because we have to act. We have to call our representatives and voice our opinion now. And people would say, oh, well, we're acting too late. It's never too late to be salt and light. Never too late to be the salt and light of the world for Jesus. So don't have a pessimistic view. We always have to realize that God is doing something. He's mobilizing his people, and you are a part of it. So be sure to give us some thumbs up, give us some shout outs, share this with people, all right? Right now, share it now, all right? So the Equity Act, the Equality Act, the inequity of the Equality Act. It's the Equality Act sounds really good, Curtis. Oh, equality, yeah. Everyone wants equality. All men are created what? Equal. That's what our Constitution states. And this is so deceiving because it is an affront to the First Amendment and religious Christian, Judeo-Christian religious liberties. And we're gonna share that right now. So are you ready? Do you have any opening statements?
I was just going to say, isn't that just the way that Satan, the father of lies, deceives people? He takes something that is already true, and he tells you that it's not true, and you need to do something to make it true. That was right in the garden too. The Bible said that Adam and Eve were made in the likeness of God.
Yep.
And Satan came in and said, if you eat this fruit, you'll be like God.
Yeah.
Well, it was already true. They were already like God. So he just snuck this thing in and he didn't blatantly say, you're not like God. He just said, hey, there's this thing over here that's not good enough for you. Let me introduce this. And you can eat of this fruit, and then you'll have what you actually already have. And so just right off the bat,
The
Equality Act. Well, God already made us equal, you know, and now you're going to take something that actually makes us unequal in a deceptive way that makes it seem like we're not equal, so we have to do something in order to make it happen.
Right. The Equality Act is really the Conformity Act. Conform, Christians, you have to conform to the new socialist agenda that propagates atheism, socialism, and we've been shouting it from the housetop, Curtis, for at least a year concerning some of our teachings on the kingdom of God and the kingdoms of men. Socialism leads to Marxism and atheism, and that's where we're going. They want to stuff out Christianity and silence and suppress the Christian voice in America. And we can't let it happen, right? We're not going to do it. So here we go, Curtis. Let's see. Let's start here. H.R. 5, that's what it's called, the Equality Act, was passed by the House of Representatives, let's just say the Democrats, in the House of Representatives on February 25th, 2021. That was just last Thursday. It is expected to pass the U.S. Senate next week. Is that not scary? And we have, guess who we have sitting as the... it's expected this... H.R. 5 is expected to pass the Senate next week.
What did you say is leading this? We missed that part.
Well, the vice president is the deciding voice. Vote. And so the state can override this federal decision if you encourage, and if we encourage you to do that. Every one of us need to do this. The church can take action to stop what is happening. The question is, are you willing to act now? And by the way, I want to thank Darlene Bishop and a Solid Rock Church for putting out a really comprehensive view of the Equality Act and what to do. And so these are some of the things, Curtis, and we'll stop and we'll talk a little bit about each one and we'll run through them as quickly as we can because there's several of them. If passed by the U.S. Senate, H.R. 5, Equality Act will lead to the following implications: funding abortions, just broad brush, all taxes, funding abortions. Now, Trump signed executive orders against tax-funded abortions and defunding Planned Parenthood, and he was the most pro-life president that we've ever had. And why Christians, some Christians, not many, but some, wouldn't vote for him is beyond me. So here's what we have. Your taxes are going to fund abortions. And let me tell you about the Roe versus Wade real quick. That opened the door to a culture of death unlike anything in our history as a nation. And then that was in 1973. And then in 2015, the Obergefell versus Hodges decision, Supreme Court decision, which legalized gay marriage, created a culture of perversion. So now at work, these principalities, these powers at work in the culture of death are continuing to create a culture of death and perpetrating it, and it's growing. And now the culture of perversion now since 2015, when that Pandora's box was open and they lit up the White House in gay pride colors, the culture of perversion is upon us. Any thoughts on that, Curtis?
I mean, that's how this works. You allow a spirit of death in, it's not going to ever stop. Like, you can't give evil any room
right
to move, because it will constantly take more and constantly take more. So what do you expect, you know?
Yep. Yeah, and that's what's happening in our society. And Curtis, if the church doesn't rise up, especially pastors and leaders, you know, what is it going to hurt if we speak out against sin? Well, we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. We don't want to quench the possibility of them getting saved. They're not going to get saved if you don't tell them that Jesus died for their sins.
Well, and it's going to get to a point where they'll take you to jail for saying some of this stuff. And we're actually going to get to some of that.
Oh, yeah. Pastors, here's another point. Not only funding abortion, but pastors having to hire atheist applicants.
I don't even understand.
I wouldn't mind hiring an atheist so long as he isn't a pastor or a worship leader or, you know, because I want to witness to people, right? I want to share the gospel with people. I don't mind hiring people. When I was a businessman, yeah, I would look for Christians. Sometimes people that said they were Christians, they didn't operate with Christian ethics. Let's put it that way. Sometimes atheists operate with more ethics in business than Christians do. That's a sad testimony. Not a majority, but some. That should never be the case.
A church hiring an atheist would be like a photographer hiring a person with no arms to be a hand model.
I didn't say that, people. Curtis said that. Let's move on. Churches will have to allow men in women's restrooms. The Equality Act.
And if not, they are allowed to.
That's what U.S. That's what the Democrats, the D.C. Democrats, are put in this Equality Act, that churches will have to allow. And of course, they're making kids in schools and businesses allow men and women's restrooms. It started under Obama. Come on. Somebody give me some angry faces. You can give me some angry faces on there. This is bad. I see them. Here they come.
That was me.
That was you. All right. Thank you, Curtis. This is incredible. It's unbelievable. Pastors will have to officiate homosexual weddings. And then it's like it says that if you refuse, you will be required, if you do not change your biblical principles of faith, you will be subject to a lawsuit. Is this what we want from our government? Is this what we voted in? That, you know, this is a sad testimony to the American public, that if this is what we're wanting our leaders to vote in, this is a problem, people. This is what causes civil wars. Because I'm going to tell you right now, this is not going to go over well with people who believe in the Constitution. This is a violation of the very First Amendment, Curtis. Any comments? Come on. I know I'm on my soapbox, but...
I don't know what to say. I mean, it's like what you're reading, there's nothing else you have to say.
Yeah.
It speaks for itself. You could just read the list and we could tell everyone goodbye and end the show, and it would be, you would get your point across.
Pastors, go ahead.
It's just so blatantly obvious in your face. This is an attack on churches.
Yeah.
On Christianity. Because they're not attacking other religions. They don't care what Hindus do. They don't care what Muslims do.
Mm-mm. It's Christians. Obergefell versus Hodges. That was the 2015 Supreme Court decision. Opened the door to a culture of perversion that is being released, unleashed by principalities and powers from ancient days. Listen, this isn't anything new to the earth. You know, the perversion of Sodom and Gomorrah was beyond description. God literally had to destroy the city, had to bring out the only righteous people in it.
Well,
and this is ancient principalities and powers being manifested again here in America.
And I always hated when people said, you know, America's the new Sodom and Gomorrah. And I don't want to believe that. But at the same time, we're seeing right before our eyes the same cultural standards.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. By the way, does anybody miss this man here? Does anybody miss him? I miss him. I saw him last night on television.
Yeah, we got a refreshing drink last night.
we're in a heap.
Listening to him was like drinking a nice cold glass of water on a hot and sunny day. Like, we've been parched for months, not months.
It's only been 6 weeks.
We've been parched for weeks. And then finally somebody spoke again about everything that we're thinking and feeling.
It was amazing. It was great. But it's only been 6 weeks, Curtis. Imagine if this is 4 more years of this. And where are the Christians? Where are they? I tell you, we got to get busy. So listen to this. Women will have no rights because there will essentially be no gender. Scholarships, grants, business loans for women will be non-existent. Does that, you explained something a little while ago when we were talking before we went on, before we went live about this. And share a little bit about that, Curtis.
Which part?
I said, but just about how women are now going to be so marginalized by the Equality Act.
Yeah, that so much of the women's rights movement. I mean, there was some good to it. There were some things that definitely needed to change, but it was definitely a very progressive, left leaning subject, and now that's just completely being trampled on by the very people that were proponents of it.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why we're talking about less than 1% of the population is struggling with their gender identity. And yet that 1% has enough weight and enough power to cause the entire 99% to submit to that way of thinking. It blows my mind.
But that's the way it is with abortion too. The DC Democrats make you think that, you know, if you make abortion illegal, then those women, many, many women will lose their lives. Nobody has to lose their life in a pregnancy and a delivery of a baby. That's a misnomer. Or the small percentage in the case of rape or incest. So very, very small. And even in those situations, there's innocent life if there is an abortion. So, but anyway, let's move on here. This it gets crazy right now. It's already crazy.
This is the worst right here.
This is the worst part of the Equality Act, if that's believable. Well, I think pastors having to officiate homosexual weddings is pretty, you know, pretty tough. And I could go to jail. How'd you like your pastor preaching live from jail? All right, here we go. Parents will have no, listen to this. You're talking about attacking the family. Parents will have no authority over their children. Physicians' decisions over transgender change or puberty blockers will be granted if children ask for them. Somebody give me some angry faces. That is beyond description, that parents lose their authority. But they've been doing it in schools for a long time with the pill, with contraception. I talked to somebody the other day here locally, a parent, about the schools locally and the perversion of sex education. It's literally like a porn film is what they told me. What is going on?
Well, and you know, they've already been doing it with abortions where, you know, a young girl can go in,
yeah,
and nobody ever even has to know that it happened. And now it's just a whole other level of perversion. Well, I mean, I don't even know. Abortion to me is about as bad as it gets.
Yeah, that's the worst.
But now it's out in the open because now you're having something done to you and it's not even in secret anymore. It's not even hidden anymore. Now it's as a parent, you have to watch your child go if you don't. I mean, I would do something about it.
Right.
You know, guess what? I'm going to lock you in your bedroom until you figure out these weird feelings that you're having inside yourself.
Yeah.
But now it's parents will have to watch their children go through a gender change while they're still in their teen years. Their brains haven't even been fully developed yet.
No.
And they're wanting to change their body from one gender to another.
You know, this.
They're not allowed to smoke cigarettes.
Yeah.
They can't go buy cigarettes, mm-hmm. but they can completely mutilate
yeah.
their own bodies.
Yeah. This is what our leaders in Washington, D.C. are passing as legislation and calling it Equality Act. Equality.
And making it a priority.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like this is something that just gets shoved to the side for years and years. We're going to bring it right out. It's going to be one of the first things we deal with under this administration.
Can you imagine the confusion? Now, I of course, all of us have gone through our teen years, our insecurities, our immaturity, all of the things that we're going through. And now you're going to, as grown people in leadership in our nation, you're going to now say to these young people who, bless their heart, they're already dealing with enough as it is. Now you're going to, and the perversion in the schools, I'm hearing kids, bless their heart, they're just going through so much when it comes to, you know, same-sex dating and all of that. Now you're going to throw in the transgender mutilation and say, oh, it's okay. This is demented. This is torment. And imprisonment mentally and emotionally for children and spiritually. I mean, Christian parents are having such a hard time if their kids go to public school dealing with the perversion of the students now, because what happened with the Obergefell versus Hodges decision of 2015 that legalized gay marriage, out open Pandora's box. And now, because leaders in a high place, Curtis, of government and education say it's okay to be homosexual, it's okay to be a lesbian or to be transgender, these kids don't know any better. They have no moral compass at all. Many parents haven't even taught them what a moral compass is. But they're dealing with all of this garbage, Curtis, and it's sad. It's one of the saddest things, but what do we do? So we paint this really bad picture. We're not done yet. So we're going to get to some of the things that we get to do and that we can do. Any other thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, being a youth pastor, you know, we talk to our youth about some of these issues, and we ask them, you know, especially my wife with some of the girls. The girls probably are dealing with the pressure more than even guys in our culture today. But the girls have told us that. And this isn't their opinion. I'm not trying to say that, like, this is what they believe. They're just telling us what the opinion of their peers are, that it is not cool to be straight, that it's popular to pick some form of, you know, LGBTQ identification and kind of make that your status symbol in your school. And so, you know, when it used to be, you know, if you want to be popular, become a cheerleader or, you know, run for class president. Now it's, you know, get in a lesbian relationship, you know, have some kind of go through puberty blockers. Like, that is now like the cool thing to do. And before, when society taught that homosexuality, any form of it, is unnatural, if a child who's going, you know, your hormones are going all crazy, if a child were to have a thought, or a you know, someone in junior high or a high schooler were to have some kind of sexual thought toward someone of the same gender, they would immediately have the following thought, that that's gross, that's unnatural, and that's wrong. Correct. And just that was enough to prevent most people, most kids, because I'm sure every single one,
yes,
had some kind of, you know, it's temptation. The enemy can come in and put a thought, whether it's hormones that you're going through, whether it's, you know, whatever, or you just feel affectionate toward a friend. And then the enemy tries to pervert that affection. But all of society already gave you that moral compass that said that that's wrong. And then you immediately reject that thought. But yeah. Now what's happening, we're seeing such a spike in this way of thinking in the LGBTQ community in our high schools and middle school and elementary schools, because that moral compass isn't there. When that temptation comes in, now the narrative is not, the narrative has changed from that is unnatural and that's gross and that's wrong. I'm going to think something else. Now the question is, maybe that's who I am.
Mm.
And this is like,
very dangerous.
It's the reason this is so dangerous. I mean, it's so much more dangerous than just a kid, you know, being offered some marijuana at school and then they smoke it and then they realize that, you know, that was a really wrong thing to do and repent from it or whatever, or they're told, you know, that's a bad thing to do. That's not attached to their identity. It's not like they've taken on, this is just who I am. And there's no way around it. They know it's wrong and they do it anyway. Mm-hmm. But now you have a different sin that is attached to who you are. And that's where it's become so dangerous, because now it's not, I'm struggling with a sin of homosexuality. It's, this is who I am.
Yeah.
This is who I will always be. And once you take that identity on, just like in the garden, like we said earlier, where Satan, the serpent, said to Eve, if you become like this, or if you eat this fruit, you will become like God. He introduced a new identity to her. Her identity had changed, and she was no longer like God through the lie. And that's the goal of sin, is if it can attach itself to your identity, now it's reached a whole new level of belief system within you that will take so much more to reverse it. So that's my thought that you asked me to share.
No, that's fantastic, because if you go back to the garden where that temptation was, you hit it right on the head, to partake of the tree and the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it makes evil equal with good. And so what happens is, of course, when you allow evil in, it destroys the good. And that's what's happening with these kids. They are getting destroyed with the deception and lie of that their identity is something other than what God created them to be, which is good and in his image. And so, Curtis, it's such a tragedy that this is a pervasive, growing doctrine in our nation. And how do we combat it? How do we combat it? I think Christians have to talk with their children, and obviously good Christians are, and they're making it very clear. When my kids grew up and they were in high school, this was an emerging kind of way of life. And it was becoming louder and louder. I can't even imagine how loud it is right now.
Well, and, you know, no parent thinks, especially Christian parents who raise their children upright, nobody thinks that it will be their child that it happens to. But we've disconnected parents from education so much in the culture of schools that you have to know, parents have to know that your children, whether they're agreeing with it or not, it is getting into their eye gates, their ear gates. It is reaching them. They are immersed in cultures like this, and you have to have those discussions. As a parent, you have to go further with the discussion than you think you need to.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's better to go too far with it than not far enough, you know?
Agreed.
And if you start having the conversation and you think, okay, well, maybe I need to back it up a bit because my child's not dealing with this, then great. But it has to be discussed, because if they don't hear it from you, they will believe whatever else they hear. That's how children are. They are created to believe the first thing that they hear.
How important is it, Curtis, for parents to get their kids in church? How important is the Wednesday night service? How important is the Sunday morning children's church, junior high youth, the youth group, young adults? How important? Because they are being indoctrinated 24/7 nearly with these perverse doctrines of devils. And how important is speaking to your children from a biblical point of view? Well, I don't want to sound preachy. That doesn't matter anymore. You have to preach to your kids. I preach to my kids. And I was their dad, yeah, and I love my kids, obviously. And I preached with love. I still preach with love. But the fact is that you have to go biblical. This is God's standard. And if in any way you fudge, the devil will trick and deceive the student into believing it's okay. It's okay. And the same thing with a lot of things. If the parent thinks it's okay and the teacher thinks it's okay and government officials think it's okay, then it must be okay because kids don't know any better. They don't know. But there has to come a time where we have to put our foot down in the family, get back to family devotions, get back to praying with your children, get back to reading the Bible with your children, turn off the TV, no telephone. You know, family dinners, talking, enjoying one another. You say, Pastor Randy, that would be like trying to herd cats in my house. Most times, you know, two parents are working two different jobs on two different shifts. I know it's harder now than ever, but you have to go after it and hold your children tight to your chest, especially dads. Dads, listen, you have to step up with your daughters and your sons and say, you know what? We are not even entertaining anything like this. And I believe that we can turn the tide, but it's going to take people voting. It's going to take people getting an education, taking the education mountain, becoming teachers, principals, deans, and getting into the government mountain. We have to take back. And I think a lot of Christians are doing that. In fact, I know a lot of Christians are doing that, Curtis.
Yep.
So we are discussing the Equality Act passed by the House Democrats. No Republicans voted for it, but passed on February 25th, last Thursday. And now it's heading for the Senate. And it is expected to pass the Senate. And we're going to be sending out an email. So if you want to get on our email list from Life Church Westchester, you'll be getting an email about this very, very soon on what to do, who to contact, in what county or in what area you live in concerning our state legislators. And voice your opinion. Come hard against it. Get educated about it. And this is a violation of your religious freedom. It's going to hurt and impugn. There's going to be lawsuits for pastors and leaders. There's going to be lawsuits for Christian business owners. There's going to be education issues that you're going to come up against with teachers and all that. There's a lot that is at stake here. So you might as well just gear up and figure out where you're going to stand on this and not be silent about it. All right. This is what we're trying to do. This is called the prophetic pulse. And believe me, this is a prophetic word. I know it's something that is already past the house, but we knew this was coming. Curtis, we were talking about this. I've been talking about it for years and how this Obergefell versus Hodges 2015 decision by the Supreme Court legalizing gay marriage opened the door, opened Pandora's box, created a culture of perversion. And here we are on the other side of it, 6 years later, 5.5 years later. And this is what we're dealing with.
Yeah. And if you guys think that, like, you know, for me, I can't think of anything worse than this. Like, I can't come up with that in my own mind. Like, what could possibly be worse than a child going to a doctor and having their bodies mutilated and their genders changed? Like, I can't think of anything more wicked than that. But the enemy can.
Yes,
and
he can.
In Romans 1, we were just reading it.
Come on, read it.
We want to read through the whole thing today? All right. We'll read through this, and then we'll try to wrap it up. But it talks, at one point, it talks about how they invent new evil. Like, they invent new ways of evil. So let me read this. Romans 1. Here, I'll share it with you so you guys can see it. Starting in verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they know God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in their lusts, in their hearts, to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature, and the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done.
Yeah.
They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil.
Wow.
Disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. That though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them.
Wow.
So even though we may not be able to think of anything more perverse than what's going on, if it isn't stopped, if it isn't refused, they will come up with something else. There will just be another thing and another thing and another thing until society is completely destroyed. And you can look in history and you can see one of the main things that causes big empires, what causes societies to fall, is when the family unit gets disrupted.
Yeah.
Because it is the core value of the kingdom of God. It was built on family. It is a spirit of adoption. The entire kingdom realm is bringing orphans into a family, and you become a son and daughter of a father.
Yeah.
So anything in society, and we're supposed to bring heaven to earth. We're supposed to bring the culture of heaven and apply all of its principles to our cultures here on earth.
Yes.
And if the base foundation of what the kingdom of heaven is built on, and that's family and that's relationship with Father God, if that is stripped away from society, all of society crumbles.
Yes, it does.
And we are literally at the precipice of all of society falling apart if these things are accepted by us. Even after everything we've said, I don't think we have any clue even as to how bad this really is. I think this can be more detrimental than our imaginations, you know, our hopeful spirit-filled imaginations that just think like, you know, God's just going to, you know, God's in control. He's going to come and save the day for America. But what happened with societies in the past? Societies that God loved. God loves the nations.
Yeah.
But he also put us in charge of the nations. He gave us this earth to steward. And if we want to ruin the foundation of family, then he will. That's basically what God's wrath is that he's talking about. Sure, Jesus quenched the wrath on the cross. And so there's a way in. There's a way out of the wrath that was already set in the garden. And that was the curse of sin, which even within that, there was so much grace. God could have just destroyed mankind. He had the right to. He said, when you eat this fruit, you shall die. And yet within it, he gave so much grace for us to have an opportunity back to the original way that God created us to be.
Amen.
And so God in his grace gave us an opportunity. And now it's the church's job. It's the family's job to reinstate the foundation of family so that all of society doesn't crumble.
This is why Jesus, in his very first message, said, you are the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its savor, how will the earth be seasoned? In other words, Christians are what preserve and keep the morality and the principles of the kingdom alive and working among the corrupted, sinful world. This is what we're supposed to do. Then he says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. We cannot deny who we are. We cannot deny Christ. We cannot deny his word of God, the word of God. So we have to shine. This is what we're doing. How many pastors are doing this? How many pastors are doing what we're doing, Curtis? How many Christians are doing this? How many pastors? I don't know how many pastors. I wish every pastor would communicate with their family, with their church this way. We have to communicate what God says about the corruption in the world, or we've hid our light under a basket. And if we aren't communicating what God says about sin and how to escape it and how to get out of it so that you can become a son and a daughter of God, then we lose our savor. And he literally says, salt that loses its savor is good for nothing. And I'm reminded of the scripture in the book of Revelation. He says, if you're neither cold nor hot, you're lukewarm, and I will spew you out of my mouth. I don't know about you. I think this pandemic has shaken either you are moving into a greater passion to preach the word of God and live in the glory of God and see revival come, or you're not. And you don't care about the church anymore. Well, I can watch it on television. I can just do, you know, or I can just, you know, I can just send in my tithe, or I can listen. I understand right now everybody's being careful about the pandemic, but there's going to come a time where you have to decide, I am getting back into the house. The assembly is the church. The assembly is the ecclesia. It is the place where God meets with his people. And yes, thank God for live stream. Hallelujah. But it doesn't take the place of it. Nevertheless, we have to be salt and light in this season. Or brethren, we're going to see even greater perversion, because the culture of perversion has been unleashed. The culture of death has been unleashed. In our nation, 1973 Roe versus Wade, 2015 Obergefell versus Hodges, and so now, what are we going to do? We have to rise up. We have to speak about these things. We have to teach it in love, share it in love. Make sure we secure our families, we secure the church, And pastors, don't be afraid to go to jail, I guess, because you're going to probably have to in the future. I don't know when this is all going to take place, but if the Senate passes the Equality Act, Joe Biden is going to sign it. And our leaders have betrayed the trust of millions upon millions of Christian citizens in America. They have betrayed the First Amendment of the Constitution. And the they want to shred the Constitution, Curtis. So here's what I think we should do.
Really quick. You know, if you think that pastors, and it'll reach beyond pastors if something isn't done, to just, you know, your everyday Christian, that this leads to Christians going to jail. Yep. Because, and this is how it'll work. You might think, how is that even possible? How could that ever happen in America? This is how it can happen. They make this a standard and they make this the truth. And then once it solidifies in culture that this is the truth and this is our standard, then they point at the people who don't agree with this.
Yep.
And they label them as bigots.
Yep.
They label them, you know, as people who commit hate crimes.
Yep.
For speaking out against it. And then they will say, if we find out that you're raising your children to believe something other than this, then we'll send you to jail and we'll take your kids from you.
And
that's how communism works.
Brother,
that's how it happened in, that's how it happens in China.
Yep.
That's how it happens in societies where they've completely shut down. I mean, they can't completely shut down Christianity, but they shut down the organization. They shut down public Christianity.
Yep.
And if you think that you won't see it in your lifetime, then I'm just giving you a warning now.
Yeah.
You have to make it a decision in your heart. Am I willing, for the sake of the gospel and for sake of Jesus Christ, to see myself go to jail and my children taken from me because I won't deny
Jesus? And listen, Curtis, and here, this is so true as well. Because of voter fraud, they can just stay in and they can just pass any law. If we think this is bad, it's going to get even worse. Because of voter fraud, we can't vote in the ones that we want. The elephant in the room right now in this time is voter fraud. If that isn't corrected, this is going to get a whole lot worse. They're going to pass all kinds of things. Just like Curtis says, that's how communism works. They come in, they take over the government, and they start passing laws that make you conform to what they want. And if you don't, they snuff you out.
Yeah. And they're going to, just like they did on January 6th, where, you know, if you were even there at the Capitol, they targeted you and labeled you as basically a domestic terrorist. Now, they didn't just go around and arrest everybody that was there, but they fed that narrative and they fed that lie into society, and they made a lot of people believe it. And so that's how communism works. They will come in and they will say, because you're Christian, you're a destructive person, you are a danger to society, and now that justifies us to put you in jail over it.
Yep.
Or even worse, God forbid, martyr you.
Yeah.
Which in America, we're so sheltered from that reality that happens in the world on a daily basis all over the world, where Christians are martyred for the sake of the gospel because they will not comply with either the religion that is present in that area or the religion of communism and atheism, which it's all just religion, you know? So just be preparing your hearts.
Yes. Make your decisions now. Just, really prepare your heart. Obviously God could step in, intervene, turn things around.
Yeah.
You know, the voter fraud be exposed. We're still praying about that. State legislators can change everything and they can stamp out the voter fraud. President Trump probably will run in 2024. He could be reelected and we could have an entire House and Senate with Christian Republicans. That would be wonderful. Wouldn't that be great? That's what I'm believing for.
I'm praying for it. I believe for it.
Absolutely. But at the same time, we know the sinister, nefarious things that are happening. And so we have to prepare also for those things that could happen. And I believe the church is going to be a sanctuary. It's going to be a place where the people of God and the presence of God are flowing. And that's why I want you in it. You want your family coming to church. You want to be a part of God's kingdom, God's protection, God's provision in these coming days, because we do know it's going to get worse and worse, but the glory of God is going to rise upon who? You and I, the glory of God. So be sure to contact your state legislators, your state house representatives in your county and in your district. In my district, it's Jennifer Gross. She is a state house representative. And Jennifer, if you're watching, we love you. She goes to our church, great member, great family of our church. There's in Butler County, Sarah Carruthers, Jennifer Gross, Thomas Hall, and Senator George Lang in Warren County, Scott Lips. You'll get this via email. And you can also go to, right now, you can go to Solid Rock Church website, I think, and get these names. And then they give you a little sample script on what to say when you call these representatives and voice your opinion.
All right.
Woo!
Be filled with hope. This is not, you know, just us trying to just fill everybody with fear that, you know, we're all just going to die. Be martyred for Jesus.
Oh, boy. It
really isn't too bad. But be filled with hope that this message is so the church can see prophetically.
Yes.
A result of decisions, yes, that are being made.
Yeah.
And when you can see that result, and, you know, if I take an action right now and the church does something about this, we all do something about it together, then it won't end up in that place, and we can start reversing these effects in our nation.
I believe God is for that, Curtis, and I believe when God's people start stepping up, God moves even more profoundly. And so that's what we're going to pray right now. Pray with us. Come on. Pray with us. Share this with somebody. Share it in Messenger. Share it on Facebook. Share it on Twitter. I don't know, on Instagram. I don't know how you can share it, but we need to pray, and we're going to pray right now, Curtis. I feel like just praying, and then if you feel led to pray, let's agree right now that God will expose the voter fraud, that we will see justice come to our voter system again, and that a vote will be a vote, and that somehow the Democrats who are trying to transform our voter system with illegal votes and fake votes, that they will be exposed. Father, I release right now the angelic hosts to go to the state legislators, Lord, to go to those people in states all over this country that pass laws concerning how the system works for voting. And I pray, God, that you would just expose the voter fraud in this last election, that it was so rampant, Lord, that caused such inequity to take place, and Joe Biden to be ushered in as the president. Father, you know what happened. You know how it happened. And Lord, we ask you to move and to overturn, Lord, and expose voter fraud. And Father, this Equity Act, this Equality Act, I should say, as it comes before the Senate, Lord, let Democrats on the Democrat side get a change of heart and come to the Republican side and vote against it, Lord. The power of God, we ask for your mighty angels, Lord, your angelic hosts, to do warfare right now. And let these state legislators, as well as our D.C. Senate, Lord, vote against the Equality Act. In Jesus' name.
Yeah, Lord, we just bless our nation.
Yes.
We just speak to these principalities and powers, and we command you to let go of the areas and of the people that you have dug your claws into. We command you to let go, and we displace you from our nation God, we thank you that you are invading our nation with righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. We bless our nation. We bless our leaders. And Lord, we just thank you in advance for your protection and your sovereignty. And Lord, we just trust that your heart is for this nation. Your heart is for these people. And that, God, you will move on our behalf and you will move with us.
Thank you, Lord.
So, Lord, I just ask that you just press onto people's hearts the conviction of the Holy Spirit, in that they would act accordingly to what it is that you're calling the church to do in this time. And so we just bless, we bless, we bless, and we love America. We love the people of America.
Yes.
God, you have loved us first. And so we just thank you for all your wisdom and revelation. And we just thank you for your love and your salvation. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
All right.
Get busy calling your state representatives and your senators, as well as your federal senators. And just push against the Equality Act. We love you guys.
All right. Y'all have a good night. We'll see you again soon.